Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Los Angeles facing 3 days of clashes with protesters and demonstrations against ICE immigration raids. ABC's Matt Gutman was in downtown for the unrest.
Just moments ago, oh, there's some projectiles being thrown. Just moments ago, a motorcycle seemed to try to break through the police skirmish line. And now you can hear all those flashbangs going off. Police are trying to push those protesters back.
Mayor Karen Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom both saying they did not request the National Guard. It was the first time since 1965 the National Guard was deployed by a president against the wishes of a governor. Scores of scientists have signed a letter called the Bethesda Declaration, challenging Trump policies they say are meant to undermine National Institutes of Health missions, waste public resources, and harm the health of Americans and people around the globe. Warner Brothers and Discovery announcing this morning they will be splitting off into two public companies by next year. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The National Weather Service is warning of severe staffing shortages in Wisconsin and that none of their offices in the state have a chief meteorologist. The agency has three offices covering a majority of the state, with the Northwest region covered by offices in Minneapolis and Duluth. Due to federal cuts under the Trump administration, the remaining offices have also cut some of their services, like balloon launches. The cuts come as Wisconsin sees more tornadoes than usual, having already nearly hit the average of 23 that the state sees in a year. On Thursday, the United States Supreme Court ruled that a Catholic charity in Wisconsin does not need to pay state unemployment taxes. The unanimous decision found that the state violated the Catholic Charity Bureau's religious freedom guarantee under the First Amendment. Wisconsin argued the organization did not qualify for a tax exemption because their day-to-day work does not involve religious teachings, and a large portion of their funding comes from public sources. The organization argued their disability services are motivated by religious beliefs. A Grantsburg man has been sentenced to life in prison in connection to a 2023 homicide in Burnett County. According to court documents, David Edeburn Jr. was accused of stabbing and killing Brittany Holland of Siren in September of 2023. He reportedly called law enforcement authorities following the stabbing to have four children removed from the property and told them that he had killed Holland. Authorities later arrested him at his Grantsburg residence. Edeburn Jr. entered a no-contest plea to charges of first-degree intentional homicide last year. The first of two people charged in relation to a Sawyer County standoff involving firearms and explosives has been sentenced to prison. 40-year-old Zachary Horan and 47-year-old Michael Aaron Colalillo Sr. faced multiple charges in relation to the January incident. According to court documents, the incident began when Colalillo Sr. and the victim at the Sawyer County residence got into a physical altercation during a disagreement about security cameras. Horan was previously convicted, and the charges against Colalillo Sr. are still proceeding. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers' homestand continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a three-game series against the Atlanta Braves tonight at American Family Field. The crew got shut out by the Padres yesterday, 1-0. Milwaukee leaving 10 base runners stranded and just couldn't find a way to score some runs. Pat Murphy.
We didn't get the big hit when we needed to. We could have scored, a ton of runs. We had a ton of traffic. It seemed like we just didn't come up with a big hit.
The Brewers losing this series to San Diego 2-1. NBA, the Pacers fall to the Thunder in Oklahoma City, 123-107. Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton said it seemed like the refs allowed them to be more physical in game two.
The officials said, let us play a little bit more. So just got to do a better job playing through there. I just got to figure out how to be better earlier in games. Kudos to them. They're a great defensive team, but we can do a lot better job and, we'll watch the film and see if we can get better, going into game three.
The series tied at one game apiece. Game three Wednesday night in Indianapolis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thundershowers possible today and a high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower, thundershower possible, low in the low 50s. Tomorrow will be sunny and warmer with a high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the show Young Sheldon, actor Lance Barber, and we'll talk about the amazing career and life of Michael J. Fox. We are going to light it like it's Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It is I, the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow, on this Monday morning, June 9th. Welcome back up north, 8:06 here on Lake Wissota, and Brittany Merlot is going to have the forecast. We're going to check in with John and Gordy down in Madison in just a bit. First, want to let you know that in the next half hour, we will be talking about apprenticeships in the building trades, and the executive director of the Building Trades Council here in Wisconsin will be our guest to talk about ways to alleviate the labor shortage in Wisconsin. So normally, you've heard us mention a few different times that when we turn to Parker Olson, he's there in Studio A2. And I'm sure you're going, well, is there an A1? Yeah, it's normally in use, yeah, you know, during these early hours of the day. But we found a little space of time where it's not being used in any productive manner. And we've been able to talk our friends in Madison, John and Gordy, who have finished their show, into wasting some of their time on this one. John and Gordy are in A1. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Great to be here.
Yeah, wonderful to have you
here. We wasted 2 hours, Pat, just waiting to be on your show.
Well, if you could entertain anybody along the way before that happens, it would be appreciated. And I'm sure a few listeners in Madison do just that. And Dom, of course, is their producer, so he's in the control room there. Brittany Merlot is standing by there. We just wanted to show that we could pop 5 studios up on screen at once. It took nearly a Nobel Prize winning effort of engineering to get it done, but we're here. So now, having proven that point, Parker and Dom are going to shut their cameras off because it's too much for me to take in at once. I am just overstimulated.
Get them out of here.
Toddler at this point. All I can handle right now is that Brittany Merlot is back and has a local forecast all across the state that's going to be a little rainy, a little warm, but can't wait to hear more about it. Hello, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. I'm happy
looking
to see
at this whole screen full of men. Just like, I cannot get an edge in word-wise with these guys, but
right?
Here we go.
I'm just kidding. Okay.
The next few moments are all yours.
Okay, here we go. I got the stage. I wish I had a better forecast for you, but it is pretty nice middle of the week. Today, though, this morning, we're waking up with temperatures at 48 degrees up north in Phillips, and it's about the low 60s down south into Kenosha and West Bend right now. Sunshine in eastern parts of the state. Well, the rest of the state's wondering, what? No way. We're stuck under these clouds still throughout the day. We are looking at rain rolling through central parts of the state right now with a low pressure system overhead, a cold front sweeping south through the state. So yes, clouds are headed your way into the eastern areas too. Highs still on the cooler side, mid 50s far north to mid 60s far south today. So only a few more degrees for our high temperatures. We're still looking at a little bit of wildfire smoke kind of hanging around Madison to Milwaukee this morning. And of course, scattered showers still continuing through this afternoon. A few small storms could spark this evening as well. None of them are expected to be severe, but a few rumbles of thunder and a little bit of rain there. But we do have a high pressure system moving in, and it's going to take control tomorrow and Wednesday. It's going to brighten the skies up. It's going to warm us up to the mid 70s tomorrow, and then we'll flirt with 80 degrees on Wednesday. So a little summer dash there in the middle of the week, and then more rain as we close the week out, unfortunately.
Brittany, we appreciate the appearances here, and we know you're all over the network. Do you have to appear with these fellows over here, John and Gordy, every so often, too?
I do, every single morning. Yes. I love them. They're a hoot.
Oh, well, then we can check it. John, Gordy, how would you grade Ms. Merlot there with her forecast presentation today?
We couldn't do without her, actually. Oh. We wouldn't have weather in Madison without her.
We wouldn't weather in Madison.
She's excellent. You know, Pat, I was a TV weatherman for 20 years, but I retired from that business more than 10 years ago. And I got to tell you, Brittany does just a fantastic job. She's right on top of the weather, not only for Madison, but for the whole state here. So we really, it's great to have her with us every morning.
Aww. Thank you guys. You guys are the best.
Brittany knows I got my start as a TV weather person on the college TV station at UW-Eau Claire. It was my very first appearance. And Brittany, when a listener discovered that there is a YouTube, there's a clip on YouTube of that with my big 80s hair way out to here. And, you know, I probably weighed 100 pounds at the time. And it just reminds Brittany of just how far she's come and how much better she is than all the rest of us and how lucky we are to have her. Thank you, Brittany.
You got to love that, though. Those old school news bloopers or just, you know, when you're first starting out, they're the best.
I don't know what you're talking about. My voice wasn't cracking at all. Thank you, Brittany.
I think all of ours did. Even the females out of nervousness. Yes. You know what I mean? You got that camera pointed at you.
Yeah. Ooh. It happens.
It's scary.
Yep. Yeah, but then you get, you know, you turn into old pros through time and experience and a dose of cynicism. We'll get you through a lot of things here. Thank you, Brittany.
Pat, what did you like working with? The magnets on your weather maps, or did you like the...
They were the Velcro. Yes, they were styrofoam. Okay. Painted styrofoam, and then we would put the Velcro letters on there, the H or the L in the little fronts.
I'm a little jealous. Great. That's kind of cool.
Those were the days.
Yeah. OG technology. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great
You're
day.
Welcome.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right. John and Gordy are with us now from WMDX in Madison. And so folks know that we talk to people throughout the Civic Media Radio Network throughout the course of the week. We talk to Melissa Kay on Wednesdays from WFHR. For example, we've got James Kelly on, Earl Ingram is on, and now we've finally been able to make arrangements for some time for John and Gordy to visit with us and talk about things that they are talking about on their Madison show. But before we can get to, you know, the Madison show and show topics and everything, since we haven't had you on this program yet, we'd like to know just a little bit more about you guys. It's John Peterson and Gordy Young, and they've been known as John and Gordy since, was it 1964? When did you guys get started?
Not quite that far back.
Oh, okay, all right.
Close.
Almost.
All right, well, take us back to when the earth cooled and how this all got started.
I think it's about 1989 that we finally got together.
Right.
And that had to do with me having radio shows here in Madison at different stations that I get fired from one, move on to another. And Gordy followed that career. And we met finally at a TV station, Fox 47, started up a new station here in town. And he was the promotion director. And we ran into each other at their grand opening,
which was in 1986. That's when we first met. But
that's
we didn't
when we
start
first
working
met, yes.
For a couple of years after that, we started working together. But I hired John to do some voiceover work at the TV station. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got started. And we started doing a movie show on weekends, late night movie show, where we did little things in between the commercials, little vignettes.
And played really bad movies.
Yeah, really awful movies. And that's where we started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then eventually... we got together on the radio there.
That's right. We went to a station 92, not 92.7, but another 92.1. And it was magic at the time. We just loved working together. It all just fell together for us. And it's been John and Gordy ever since, actually. But, you know, I got to tell you, Pat, you know, we got that radio station in Waukesha, WAUK, and that's where I started. That was my first on-air radio job, working at WAUK in like 1978, 79.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, though, of all the people you know who tell stories about first jobs and all that, there's nobody out there that has stories quite like early radio stories. Like my first station was WAQE in Rice Lake, and it was in you know, kind of an old duplex or something. WBKV in West Bend, you're in this basement studio where, you know, they didn't have anybody to clean the toilets or the bathrooms or anything, so, you know, everybody had to pitch in. Everybody's got some story about, you know, those first radio jobs and how unique they are when you get going.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my first station was WNNO in Wisconsin Dells, and that was a wonderful place to start out because we had a window on the street. You know, we were right downtown, and of course, in the summertime, it was just crazy tourists coming by and banging on the window and trying to get your attention. And but like you said, you do everything. You know, you do everything from empty the waste baskets to sweep the floors to, you know, doing some commercials.
We wised up this time because now we have a city view. We overlook State Street, the State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, and we're a second floor built office. So now no one can knock on our windows and try to get our attention.
We literally look down on folks, you know, as they're walking up and down State Street.
We look down on
you know, you mentioned the late night movie thing, and that actually ties into how I met my wife.
Really?
I feel like I should turn to the girls, my daughters, and go, "How I Met Your Mother." I was working at the college TV station, the aforementioned one, and was again hosting kind of the late night movie thing. And I signed off after the movie saying, "Well, I'll see you down on Water Street," which of course is, you know, in Eau Claire, where all the college kids go. And met her in a bar, and she said, "Oh, I saw you on TV there." And she was there with a girlfriend of hers, and I was there with a guy friend of mine who were dating at the time. And Sherry and I just kind of got to talking, not realizing that our friends were having a disagreement about something and broke up right in front of us. And each left, and neither one of us was a good enough friend to go with our friend. We were like talking to each other. So we just kind of kept talking after that. And we're still talking 41 years later here. So
that's great.
It all started with a late night at the movies. Was that the extent of TV work for you then? Or?
Well, no, we had another show. It was on cable. Remember Cable Access?
Oh, okay. Yes.
So
they had Cable Access shows all over Wisconsin.
Yeah, think about Wayne's World. It was kind of like that.
Yeah.
And our show, we invited all of the other DJs from other radio stations, competing stations, all the other TV, local TV people to come on this Cable Access show. And it was pretty fun. And we had local bands, and we did that show once a week for a couple of years.
Local,
years.
Very controversial business entrepreneurs in town.
Yes.
A strip club, just to mention one.
Oh, yeah.
So. Cassandra asks on YouTube, do you know where exactly you were in the Dells? I'm wondering what's replaced your studio. I grew up there.
Okay, Cassandra. Well, I can tell you exactly where it was. It was 721 Superior Street, and now it's a cigar store.
Wow. Okay.
It was always meant to be a cigar store, by the way.
It's funny. I stopped in there a couple of years ago, and the layout is exactly the same, where the rooms were, where the studio was, everything else. It's just filled with cigars and accessories. But that's where it was. Yeah, right next to right next to Fisher's Bar, if you know where that is in Wisconsin Dells. So, Cassandra, there you have it.
There. Yeah. All right. We're talking to John and Gordy. You can hear them 6 to 8 a.m. in the Madison area on WMDX, or, of course, through the Civic Media app as well, getting to know a bit about them before we talk about some of the things that they do on their show. Family in town, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, you guys might be a very fertile family.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what, I've got two Gen Zers living at my home. One lives upstairs in our apartment that we have in our home, and the other lives downstairs in an apartment that we also rented out at one time. So they're both living at home. I hear from them all the time. They keep me updated on all the latest news. I keep them updated on all their tech with the money I make.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful arrangement. I love having them around. You know,
that's great.
It's great stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and I live in Madison. My daughter lives over in Fort Atkinson, about 45 minutes east of here. And my son lives in South Bend, Indiana. He's got a business there, working at an art supply place, or an art house, I guess you would say. And so I don't really have family locally here in Madison, but not too far away.
All right. We are talking to John and Gordy, and still ahead, we're going to be talking to Emily Pritzkow from the Building Trades Council about growing apprenticeships in Wisconsin. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tomorrow on the program, of course, Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area will be teasing a big column that he's going to be publishing tomorrow. And then we'll also have Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXEOP in Wausau talking about stories that he's doing for Civic Media and the people that he's talking to up in the Wausau area. On Wednesday, we'll do that with Earl Ingram from Southeast Wisconsin and also Melissa Kay from the Wisconsin Rapids area. But now to our Madison area, where we have hired two new intrepid correspondents to talk about what's happening around there. That, of course, would be John and Gordy, John Peterson and Gordy Young from WMDX there in Madison. Their show 6 to 8 that you can hear on the radio in Madison or, of course, through the Civic Media app. Mm-hmm. How long of a hiatus or whatever was it before you started doing this show on Civic Media again?
Only 29 years.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah. So you looked at the Eagles, they're 14 years, said, no,
you amateurs. You get off to them.
Yes. Yeah. I had actually moved to South Bend, Indiana in 1994. And so I was there for about 20 years before I moved back a few years ago. And then John and I kind of reconnected a couple of years ago, started here a year and a half ago.
And then Catherine Lake, who became the program director here at the station, reminded everybody that we still exist by bringing us together and putting us on the air in the mornings.
We had known her back in the 90s, and actually we helped start her career, she claims, right?
Yes, yes.
Right?
She worked for a public station here, WART.
A community.
She did the morning show from a restaurant, which is like a dream come true for me, because if you can get donuts and coffee just endlessly and do a radio show, that's like heaven.
I did tell the story about how my first job up in Rice Lake out of college ended up being done a talk show at the lunch counter of Heckle's Big Steer. And getting free breakfast out of that deal. Hey, there's the aforementioned Catherine Lake now to defend her honor.
Well, yeah. Gordy actually finally, for the first time, admitted that they really did start my career. I was on the community radio station with about 18 listeners, and they would call me from the commercial radio station, WMAD, and just to talk to me while I'm doing my show. We simulcast.
Yes,
we simulcast. So I got time on a commercial radio station, and then they got fired, and I took their job.
Yep. The end. And now she's running away.
And then she runs away. I like how she knows how to do that. I'm not putting on headphones, Kreitlo. I don't want to hear your retort. I'm just going to say what I got to say, and I'm going to move on from there.
Actually true, though. She did take our jobs after we got fired from that station, starting her career.
Well, didn't exactly get fired. They turned the station off.
Yeah.
Oh, dark. Well, that's one way to go about
that
it.
That helps,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like when the host just turns off the lights, you know, and everything, and it's up to the guest to figure out, I guess the party's done. I guess it's time for us to go now.
We got the message at that point. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're doing a show in Madison, you know, folks all around the state probably think there's a lot of fertile ground there. And I would imagine both ways that you've got, you know, your quirky people, but I know from, I've lived there briefly and served as a legislator. You also have some of the most, some of the kindest, most big hearted people, you know, you'll ever meet are in that area as well. Do you think of the show more as like an interview show, a call-in show, or more like storytelling about, you know, things that you see and do in the Madison area?
Well, I think it's more like storytelling. We do get a couple calls. Mm-hmm. Maybe one. Yeah. Wait, no, maybe every once in a while we coax somebody to give us a call with money. We actually like to tell stories and kind of, you know, give the temperature of what this town is all about and what the state is all about and the temperature of the country, you know, and the ice problem out in California. We were talking about this morning, where we also talked about Ron Johnson and his ties to China, which is something I found out from a Milwaukee magazine, Urban Milwaukee, from Bruce Murphy. He wrote about Ron Johnson's ties to China and making a lot of money there while he's been senator. So yeah, we touch on a lot of different things here. What's going on at the Capitol now that the Republicans are back in session?
You know, we do hit the political stories, and we do hit overnight news and, you know, breaking news, such as, you know, this morning, really, with L.A. and the situation there. Yeah. But we also try to find, and it's tough to do nowadays, the funny in the story. You know, how can we lighten the load a little bit, because there's so much heavy news, some tragic news some mornings. So we're always trying to find something to lighten it up.
Here's the secret, Pat. You know, we do talk about some serious subjects here, but in order to make it a light, happy, bubbly morning show in Madison, we throw in a little Trump here and there, because he's the clown. He's the guy who adds the jokes. So
isn't it interesting that after he won, that we all at Civic Media had to get together and, you know, figure out there is a path there where you're not all doom and gloom and people get mad and depressed and then they want to tune out. Right. And on the other hand, if you can't ignore it entirely, because these are important issues that are going on. And other times, I mean, you're right. It's like a clown car. And, you know, where they, the paperwork mistakes, the court mistakes, the, you know, the things that in our previous lifetimes, which wasn't that long ago, would get you fired or impeached. Or convicted. And now it's just part of the show. It's just part of the show, you know?
That's exactly how it is now. And, you know, we were just reviewing how we got into this mess in the first place, where we fear immigrants in this country.
Yeah.
And if anybody remembers, could you play this?
We've only got about a minute left.
I just want to play a quick
Oh, no, we don't have any time for that. But, you know, there was a song about eating dogs and cats. Everybody remembers that one,
that's
remember?
Right. Yes.
And that kind of fed into this fear of immigrants eating our pets.
Yeah.
And how crazy that is, right? And it's so crazy that everybody would catch on to the fact that they're being manipulated. And yet, here we are today.
And yet, here we are with no shortage of content. John and Gordy, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week. Thank
Good
you so much.
To you too. Yep.
Thank
All
you,
right.
Pat.
Yep.
We appreciate it.
Have a great day. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Emily Pritzkow a bit about the building trades and apprenticeships here live from Lake Wissota. What a great place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. One of the multi-state lawsuits joined by Wisconsin against actions taken by the Trump administration has resulted in the temporary block of cuts to AmeriCorps. On Thursday, a federal judge ruled the Trump administration must restore hundreds of millions of dollars in AmeriCorps grant funding and reinstate agency service workers. Wisconsin receives nearly $400 million in funding for AmeriCorps programs like Serve Wisconsin. Those programs provide things like literacy and math tutors for kids, addiction services, and support for unhoused youth. The Wisconsin State Patrol says they handed out over 1,300 citations during their Click It or Ticket campaign around Memorial Day weekend. According to a press release, the special enforcement campaign ran from May 19th to June 1st. The campaign was meant to encourage residents to wear their seatbelts when they're driving to avoid more significant injuries in the event of a crash during a busy travel season. Even though the special enforcement campaign is over, the Wisconsin State Patrol is reminding drivers that they will still enforce seatbelt laws. The Rice Lake Plan Commission has approved a plan for a new self-storage facility on the south side of the city. The storage facility was proposed by Menards, which has been pursuing the plans for the last couple of years. Plan Commission officials had previously expressed concerns over emergency access, but Barron County has since agreed to add an access point off Highway O exclusively for emergency vehicles. The main access point for residents would be along Wisconsin Avenue. The facility will feature 245 self-storage units. The Barron Area School District is among 25 districts across the state to receive a grant funding award through the Marshfield Clinic Center for Community Health Advancement. According to organization officials, the grant funding was provided through the Social Emotional Learning Life Tools Program. The goal of the initiative is to help students build emotional and social skills that help them thrive inside and outside of the classroom. The program includes an 8-week course taking place after school hours with a school counselor, social worker, or professional counselor. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Starting July 1st, you can take even more time getting to your seat at the movies. That is, if you're going to AMC Theaters. The Hollywood Reporter says commercials will start playing before movies, along with coming attractions. The theater chain set up a deal with National CineMedia. With commercials, the Dolby Surround sound ads, theater etiquette ads, and previews, you actually have time to watch another movie on your phone before your featured attraction starts. But use headphones, please. Otherwise, it would be rude. Sydney Sweeney has been in the news quite a bit lately. She's now part of a new thriller, and not the kind that involves her selling her bathwater. She and Julianne Moore have teamed up in a new thriller called Echo Valley. Moore plays a divorced single mom raising her daughter, played by Sweeney, who is running with the wrong crowd and has a drug problem, which causes her and her mom to go broke. Might have to use some of that soap money. The film is directed by BAFTA winner Michael Pierce and drops on Apple TV June 13th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thundershowers possible today and a high in the mid to upper 60s this afternoon. Tonight, an isolated shower, thundershower possible, low in the low 50s. Tomorrow will be sunny and warmer with a high tomorrow in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off,
and give us a few bucks.
Yeah. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. State Senator Kelda Royce will be here with our weekly Joint Finance Committee update, as well as headlines from Wisconsin Watch. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. And if you're not already following him at his site or on Substack or through Civic Media, you really ought to. His political writings are very informative about what people are doing in the Capitol and elsewhere. And he'll have a column tomorrow that focuses on next year's governor's race that you're going to want to know about. We'll talk to Dan during the 8 a.m. hour tomorrow, and then he'll be filling in for Maggie Dawn tomorrow afternoon, along with Angela Lang. And by that time, he will have published his column and talk all about the contents of this week's writings, which are very noteworthy indeed. Time to talk now about the building trades and the labor shortage in Wisconsin. Emily Pritzkow is here, Executive Director of Wisconsin Building Trades. And we're going to be focusing on a new report, a new study about the value of the building trades, especially union training in addressing the Wisconsin labor shortage. Emily Pritzkow, good morning. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Now, it's nice to have you here. And what prompted this was a new report by the Midwest Economic Policy Institute and the Project for Middle Class Renewal, looking at the skilled trades and union-affiliated apprenticeship programs. And we want to make sure we make that distinction here, because of the role that it plays in the quality of training that you get. But let's just talk about it from a general standpoint first, that the building trades, to what degree are they doing, pun intended, the heavy lifting to solve the skilled labor crisis in our state?
We are punching well above our weight when it comes to solving that skilled labor crisis. That study you referenced, which I think came out in the last month or so, highlighted what in the trades I think has been a pretty well-known fact, which is that 3 out of every 4 apprentice in Wisconsin that's doing construction apprenticeship is a union apprentice. 96% of funding that goes into construction apprenticeship comes from the union trades. So when it comes to driving the next generation of skilled workers, we're doing it all. We're carrying that weight, as you said, and we're doing it really well and delivering amazing outcomes for contractors, for end users on these projects, for communities.
And it's happening because you're seeing, historic investments in infrastructure through the bipartisan infrastructure law, in renewable energy through the Inflation Reduction Act, and just through the recovery that came from the pandemic, the increase in domestic manufacturing. Now, current events notwithstanding, we know that the Trump administration is trying to put the brakes on all of those things, but there are already so many things in the pipeline right now that are underway that really underscore the significance of there is still work to be had in the skilled trades and in the construction trades overall, right, Emily?
Yes. We are putting on people as fast as we can get them into our apprenticeship programs. That includes, I want to say this early on, the average age of our apprentice is usually between 27 and 30-ish. It fluctuates every year. But, you know, this is a great opportunity for people who maybe are not super happy with the career they're in right now and are looking for pension, gold standard health insurance, a flexible schedule, the ability to work with your brain and your hands, and by the way, to make an amazing living. And that was another highlight of the study that we can touch on later is the compensation for these jobs. But for all those reasons, there is a need there. We're filling it as fast as we can. We work with our contractor partners every day to do that. With end users. But yeah, these are fantastic careers. And there is a need, an evergreen need for them.
Let me give a couple of the takeaways here from that Midwest Economic Policy Institute. As of 2022, there were more than 8,500 construction apprentices enrolled in union programs. The union programs account for 96% of apprenticeship investments. There's like you said, a strong economic outcome. Union journey workers earn a median wage of $41 an hour. That's 41% more than their non-union counterparts. And so again, there's going to be need for skilled trades in construction all over. But this report really seems to affirm that, you know, you get what you pay for, and that it's these union trained apprenticeships that are providing the most bang for the buck.
Correct. Another thing the study shows, no knocks on the UW system, but the typical construction journey worker is making, believe, 24% more than someone with a bachelor's degree from a UW system school. And they're making 5% more than someone with a master's degree from a UW system school. It's pretty incredible. You know, I think the trades have always been sold as this alternative to someone who maybe, you know, a four-year degree is not a good fit for them. We're really competing or exceeding the outcomes for those other career paths.
We're talking now with Emily Pritzkow, who's the executive director for the Wisconsin Building Trades Council. There's another part of the report that is certainly worth noting, and that is the difference between states that have something called prevailing wage and states that don't. So before we explain the difference, let's talk about what prevailing wage is and whether Wisconsin has it or not.
Yes. So prevailing wage in general, it can be very complicated the way it's calculated, so I won't go into that. But it's basically a survey that is done of wages paid to workers in similar roles within a similar area or region, and it serves as a compensation floor for construction workers. It basically ensures that there's a baseline for compensation benefits, all that is taken into effect, and then it ensures our workers are fairly compensated for their work and that they're earning a wage that allows them to support themselves and their families. A natural byproduct of that with prevailing wage is you generally have the funds from those prevailing wages staying in those communities. It increases the hiring of local workers in general. And it has all kinds of other beneficial outcomes. You can guess when you are coming to an industry that does have an aspect of it that underpays, misclassifies workers, and tells them that we are going to set a floor here, we're going to set a minimum wage for these construction workers, and this is what you're going to pay them, and it's going to be family supporting. And unfortunately, in Wisconsin, that was repealed under Governor Walker. So we are not operating in a world here where prevailing wage exists. On federal projects, it still exists. And it leads to those outcomes we see today. And as the study pointed out, these amazing numbers we're seeing for apprenticeship with outcomes, with completion, we could grow those at a much faster rate when you compare to our neighboring states. If we were to restore prevailing wage here in Wisconsin.
Another way to think of it is, you know, essentially you've got Wisconsin construction workers who are used to making so much, but, you know, without prevailing wage, you essentially risk, you know, some out-of-state company coming in, and I'm just going to pick on Alabama. It could be any place, but they bring in out-of-state workers at a much, much lower wage. And then, of course, they take those earnings and they go back to Alabama or wherever they're from, and they don't get the multiplier effect that you would with Wisconsin workers that are being paid a fair wage for living in Wisconsin. But yeah, with Scott Walker and Republicans repealing that a number of years back, the study says that while apprenticeships are growing in Wisconsin, they are lagging compared to the neighboring states that still have their prevailing wage laws, essentially just reaffirming the value of having prevailing wage laws on the books, Emily.
Exactly. And you made a really important point, which I think was a driving factor behind prevailing wage or the Davis-Bacon Act when it was established, is like when we are building these massive federal or whatever state infrastructure projects in a certain area, that area should benefit. And they should benefit from workers in that area and employers in that area being able to compete to secure that work. They should benefit from workers that train on that job, because as we know, registered apprenticeship is basically a 5-year long mentored training. And those people that are learning the skills on that job should be able to be from that area and stay in that community and bring their skills and their training to other areas of work. But you also hit on the point of all the businesses in that area benefit when our workers are from that area, when they spend money in that area, when they stay in that area. And a lot of the promises that were made when prevailing wage was repealed, you know, that there would be increased bids, that projects would be done faster or cheaper, that has not come to pass.
No,
hasn't happened. And I think you can guess why when you talk about training and wages and all those other reasons. Our workers are more productive, they're better trained, they're faster.
Exactly. And so one other aspect, because some folks hearing this might think, well, what, this is just union bosses pushing their weight around. No, this is about doing things in partnership. And this same report that we're talking about found that joint labor management programs affiliated with building trades unions are attracting the lion's share of new workers to careers in the industry. And one of the economists who co-authored the study, how did he put it? He said, the data makes clear that the joint labor management system is punching well above its weight to deliver the skilled workforce supply that Wisconsin's construction industry needs and the job quality that its economy demands. And so in an era, Emily, when you've got politicians always working to exacerbate divisions, and that would include divisions between, you know, labor and management, the evidence is clear that when labor and management are partners in apprenticeships and in building, it is a win-win.
Correct. I mean, that's another point, Pat, I think is really valuable, is that we are different than other union structures you may see. The majority of our relationships with our signatory contractors or contractor partners, they're coming to us because we supply a highly skilled workforce that they view as a successful aspect of their business. So they are choosing to sign collective bargaining agreements with us, to sit down with us at the bargaining table and figure out a way to get a win-win when it comes to funding our training programs, when it comes to supporting the workers that work on these job sites and accessing the manpower they need. So we're a good deal all around for them, and they are choosing to come to the bargaining table to work with us.
And so looking forward, as we look at things like the Wisconsin legislature, the state budget process, other legislation they could be working on, are there any things there that would continue to show support for union apprenticeship programs?
I guess that brings another important point that we haven't even talked about. We fully fund our programs with zero taxpayer dollars. They are funded in those collective bargaining agreements through our members taking contributions, a small contribution from every dollar they earn, and contractors at the bargaining table figuring out what that looks like and putting it into a training fund. So we are 100% privately funded to provide this training to the workforce. That being said, we talked about the damage that prevailing wage is doing to the workforce here in Wisconsin and our ability to be as successful as we can be on these projects. But also expanding access to what we call readiness programs would be a great thing to look at, right. Especially when it comes to getting folks into trades that have not historically been in our trades. That would be a great thing to look at. and protecting apprenticeship as it is right now.
Good thing to support. Good things to support, plural. Emily Pritzkow, Executive Director for Wisconsin Building Trades. Emily, thank you so much for the visit. We learned a lot. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pat.
All right. And when we come back, we'll hear from Jane Mattenair about what's coming up on her show, along with Greg Bach, right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Mattenair is here, part of Mattenair on Air, coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Greg Bach, allegedly. Is he still around?
He is still around. I think he's still prepping.
He's prepping?
He's prepping.
Okay. See, I know what you mean, like getting the stories and the material and everything, but I wonder how many people hear that and it's like, oh, he's still at the makeup mirror? You know, just got to get everything just so, you know?
That's always our biggest concern on Mattenair
radio.
On Air is making sure we're fluffed.
Having that just right. You told me during the break you were a slug over the weekend. How cool is that?
I was the slug of slugs. I did some stuff on Saturday. I did some errands, and I went to the grocery store, and I went to the library, which is like my once a week happy place. Now I love going to the library. And yesterday I did nada.
Yeah.
Zippo, zero. I read books. And I doom scrolled, and that was pretty much my Sunday.
That was ours was a lot like that because, of course, we'd had the Portugal trip and then Idaho last week for our grandson's graduation. And so we were like, nothing. We're doing virtually nothing. You know, a couple things that you need to do. We did, you know, did some weeding and mowing and things like that. But otherwise, we didn't take on anything extra. And I think to do that, and I don't mean to throw my wife under a bus, but I did have to say repeatedly heading into the weekend, we're not going to do too much. We're not going to do too much. We're not going to, because it starts
remember,
off,
honey.
You know, it's, and I know that sounds like the lazy husband thing, but what happens is, you know, it starts with a little bit of weeding. And then the next thing you know, you're rebuilding one of the wood piles.
Right.
And then you're doing this. And then suddenly you are more exhausted than if you'd done a regular work day.
Yeah.
So the point I was trying to make is all things in moderation.
Just little bits.
Yes.
Little bits.
And get something done here. Jenny putting on YouTube, doing nothing is my favorite. And Tony putting it, oh, you went to camp, sit on my couch too. Yes.
Thank you for that, because I'm one of those, I always feel bad. Mm-hmm. It's like, because you look around and it's like, I know I should do that. Speaking of weeding, I know I should do that. I know I should affect, I should do something about this pile of papers on my kitchen table, which has been there for 4 months. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm not going to do that now. It'll be there later.
I was going to say, it'll still be there. That's the thing, you know. Yeah. Who do you have on the program today?
Well, we do have Mr. Global scheduled for 9:30. Unfortunately, I am still waiting for a confirmation from him, so we will see whether or not that comes
to fruition. We are efforting Mr. Global.
Okay. Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, an oil and gas industry expert, supposed to be joining us after 9:30. And then in hour number two, State Representative Christian Phelps will be here. We're going to talk about education, among many, many other things. Later on in the show, Pat, at 10:30, it's a segment we called Audio Sorbet, where we try to lighten things up a little bit and get away from the news. Our question today for Audio Sorbet is, what is the dumbest way you've hurt yourself?
Oh, okay.
Lot of possibilities there.
Yep. Especially now with as the years go on.
Yes.
There have been times where I'm like, how am I going to explain that? Yeah, I was just whatever.
The dumbest way you hurt yourself, we're going to talk about that around after 10:30. And then we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Cornclave edition.
The Cornclave?
Cornclave, yes. Okay. There's a visual included in this. I encourage you to stick around for that coming up at the end of our show.
Okay, and I should let folks know that on Todd Alba's program, State Senator Kel DeRoyes will be on around 2:30. Matt Rothschild is guest hosting for Maggie Dawn later today, and then tune into Pete Schwabe tonight as well. And then as I'm looking ahead on your program here, you've got improving math scores on Wednesday.
Yes, there is a school district in Wisconsin that has taken a different approach to how they teach math, and I'm very excited to talk to him. That's coming up on Wednesday. I'm hoping that I can take a remedial course on math, essentially. But I do think it's interesting, Pat, because everyone learns so differently.
Yes.
And I'm really curious about the way that they're approaching this, as opposed to the way that perhaps you and I were taught. Because I got to Alg 1 in high school, and it was like, yeah, I'm done. I like geometry because I got to play with the protractor. That was fun.
See, and it was geometry that killed me. Although,
the,
I mean,
the proofs.
I will just say proofs.
Oh my god.
Look at Parker.
The proofs. Yep.
Parker's. It was definitely a case for me, and I'm not saying the teacher was wrong, but it was definitely a case of, I really feel I could grab this if you would slow down. You know, but we were right off onto the next unit, and you felt yourself falling behind. And it's such a helpless feeling when you're not saying, I'll never get this. You know, I'll get this. Just give me another minute or two here, you know.
Or take it in a different approach. So I'm very much looking forward to talking to this principal that is coming up on Wednesday, I believe. Brad Sturmer is going to be joining us to talk about math education. And it gives me a chance to bring back out my protractor and my compass and play with those things, because that was a lot of fun. I like making circles.
You know, and nowadays, would anybody get a protractor? Because remember the sharp point? It'd be a weapon. It's a shank, you know, the protractors. You couldn't possibly. And of course, everybody right now, younger, is going, well, wait, don't I have one of those on my phone? Your phone can do everything else, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Do they still have Bunsen burners in high school? That was another thing I liked to play.
Oh, yeah, another thing I look at and go, wow, they let us do that?
Little explosive devices, yes.
There were a lot of things. There was a lot more trust back then. Even baseball games. Do you remember Bat Day? When you got an actual Louisville Slugger bat,
yes.
If you were going to see the Brewers or the Twins or whatever, yes. And everybody would pound their bats, you know, on the metal stadium floor, and it would get crazy out there. And now we look at them and go, would you give 25,000 people a bat?
A bat?
An actual bat going into a ball game?
Of course.
You would not.
Of course, they used to let us play with jarts, too. So I was the last of six. I figured my parents figured, if we lose one, we still got five more. It's fine.
Amazing. We are still alive. Jane Matinera is coming up next, along with Greg Bach for Matinera on Air. Thank you. Have a great start to the week.
You as well, Pat. Thank you so much. Take care, you guys.
All right. We'll see you. Parker, thank you so much. As always, have a great day. We'll see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Hope we'll see all the rest of you here as well. We'll be talking to Dan Schaefer, talking to Chad Holmes from Wausau as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. Have a great Monday. See you tomorrow here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Three nights of clashes between protesters and National Guard troops. President Trump called up against the wishes of California's governor and the mayor of Los Angeles. ABC's Matt Gutman was there when the protests broke out.
CHP, California Highway Patrol, deployed smoke. They're moving in, trying to push these protesters out. You can see some projectiles containing someone there.
The LAPD mobilizing resources and LA's mayor pleading for calm.
Our city does not need to be torn apart.
Earlier Sunday, demonstrators swarming LA's federal building, hundreds of LAPD officers responding.
Israeli forces seized a boat bound for the Gaza Strip overnight. Greta Thunberg and other activists were on board, along with aid for Palestinians who have been cut off from food and fuel amid the fighting between Israel and Hamas. Russia launching 479 drones at Ukraine in the war's biggest overnight bombardment. They also shot at least 20 missiles as well. This is ABC News.